the hymns, the reading, our thoughts and desires, we go and bring us again to the morning text from the 142nd Psalm, the last verse. Psalm 142, the last verse, read, "My soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Psalm 142, the last verse. We read in the Word of God on one occasion of Jacob, the servant of God. In his trouble, he was left alone. Loneliness, I don't know about you, but it's one of the worst fears that I have, loneliness. And he was left alone. And here it is set before us that this man of God, the man after God's own heart, he was alone in prayer. And this was the only comfort that the man had got. The last resource of everything, he had to fall down before his God with his cry, with his petition. Again and again you read, "Unto thee, unto thee, O Lord." Let us remember that loneliness is the place of education. It is the place of separation, the place of sanctification of the Spirit of God, where he separates, where he draws the child of God apart, and he teaches and he instructs him. It's the way that God would have us go. It is not our own way. The Lord would put up many a stumbling block to hinder us in our own desires and the devices of our own wicked and human heart. You consider the dictates of your own heart. If you were left to follow it, what would you follow? It wouldn't be after righteousness. It wouldn't be holiness. It wouldn't be after Christ. It wouldn't be Godward. Would be the world, the satisfaction of the desires of the lusts of the flesh. And the Word of God says so. Oh, the Lord puts these people alone and he brings them alone. We mentioned this morning, he shuts them up in their own cell, and they have no cellmate. They're lonesome before him, and in their loneliness they are taught how to lead. In this lonely condition, they are brought here of the one that is coming up out of the wilderness, the church of old, leaning upon her beloved. You see, who else could you lean on but Christ? In the loneliness of your spiritual cell, when no one understands your case, you go about today or tomorrow and try to begin to explain your case to someone else. They will misconstrue it, friends. They will. However dear, however wonderful a person they may appear to be in your eyes, the Lord won't let you have a prop. He won't let you have it. Loneliness. And in the loneliness, there is the surety which is Christ. He is a sure one who will help his people in the time of trouble. He shuts them up in prison, but he brings them out. Before we go on much farther, I wonder how many of us really know a little of what it is to be brought into prison, to be shut up in prison. Now there's various, we know this, all of us, we don't want to be educated to learn this, but there are various penalties and various things for various crimes, as we hear of them and read of them and so on, in the prison, literally. We know we may sometimes have a little qualm of conscience. judgment over something we have committed before God. You may not go into the world in sin or something, you know. It may be you try to keep a bit of peace somewhere and you almost departed from the truth. Almost. It was the borderline, and afterward you thought about it, you thought, I don't know. That was very close to untruth. I didn't want it to be. It was close to it. But it's a crime, friends. It's a crime. And your conscience gets put into prison. It's true. And someone said to me, well, I couldn't get in chapel. They really didn't want to go. They could have done. Very often you see them before very long, you know. They're bustling about all over the place. They're full of health then. They could get there if they wanted. That is departing from the truth. And that's a terrible thing to say that the word at the house of God. You can't get for some real reason why you can't get. That's difficult. That's true. Not to hide behind almost a pride to say, well, you know, I can't, couldn't, didn't want. This is truth, didn't want. No, we put in prison for these things, the Lord. And there are so many things. And it affects all of us, ministers, a whole lot of us. The Lord will put us in prison spiritually, in our conscience, for sin of any sort. Sin of any sort. You are one of his people. He put you in prison. You shall not be servant. He put you in prison. Say, you know, it's not like this, it is. Some long time ago, someone said to me this concerning these things. And it was concerning sin. And there was a sin concerning a certain man at a certain chapel a long, long time ago. And he sinned and sinned and sinned, but he professed that he wept no better. And God put him in prison. First of all, he afflicted him. And he shut him up in his bedroom. And he was alone. And the next thing was, God afflicted his conscience. And he afflicted him because of this. For years, every minister that had gone to that chapel, before long, he was wrong for it. And he never was happy until he got rid of that man. And it was one after the other, one after the other. He being a child of God, God brought him the books in his deep affliction. And it was deep in his soul and in his body. So much so that the Lord almost brought him to his wit's end. And in this affliction, God showed to him a sheep, a vision. And on this sheet, there was the name God had written of every minister that man had injured. And God said, these are mine. He brought that man down and down and down and down, till he couldn't bear his own, bear himself, and couldn't bear his own thoughts. Let that be a lesson to any of us. God put him in prison. But presently God forgave him for Jesus' sake and brought him out safely. Why? Because he's among those of whom the Lord said they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, saith the Lord. The Lord will deal with us, friends. He will deal with us if we are his. I said part, you know, if we would be let go and go and go, and the Lord never stop us, never bring us, put him in, us in prison, never bring us in and condemn us. Good thing when we are brought here, stop, stop, thus far no go and no farther. The law of the country said, stop him, stop him, stop her. The Holy Lord God says, stop the sinner, stop him. How many of us, I remember, you remember, where the you felt as if the hand of God was upon you, sinner, 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 thus far shall they go and no farther. What is this? The Holy Lord God in all its condemnation against you and all your sin. I don't mind if you sat in the chapel all your life, you're still a sinner, you're still a sinner, still a sinner. You will still need mercy. You will still need to be brought into the prison house of conviction, to be condemned. There is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. I don't believe such a terrible religion. You just accept, you just believe, and all will easily be. Never happened. Jesus says he gave the word, it is through much tribulation. Friend, as much as you can wait through often. Said a little while ago, it seems some of us, for the most part, we're up to our ears in it. We don't know how to labour along in it. Troubles. Troubles of every sort and on every side. You don't carry him on your face. But oh my word, friends, in our heart, and it's sorrowful often. Isn't it sorrowful? You need the Lord to bring you even out of the prison house of tribulation. To give you a break from that. Some have prison house in their own homes. So is this. When some fear God and some don't. When sometimes it's two against one, three against two, or four against three, or whatever the numbers may be. And it's a poor sinner shut up in his or her prison house. And all they have is opposition and persecution behind the scenes. Now that is most trying for those who have to endure it. But God has said he will, with all, make a way of escape. He can do it. He can do it. I often think those that never know anything about persecution, what they escape and what they miss, you know. One of the worst scourges that a child of God can be called upon to endure, because there's this to be found in the heart. Shall I give in to my persecutors? Shall I give in? Shall I find grace enough to hold on my way? You think years back, not so much today, but years back, many a poor dear child of God was persecuted at their daily task, their workshop, their workhouse, wherever they might find their business, and they were persecuted for the church. And were persecuted for their faith, and the Church of God was often helped along in prayer for these dear people. They united, like they did for dear Peter when he was shut up in prison, and they prayed for him. Now you consider what this is for the people of God, to be persecuted for Christ. Sometimes, you know, just a person, young and godly one, will say one word to you in a hurt. Not long ago, an ungodly person made a certain remark to me about going to take a service. Nothing to do with me, but I passed them. You know, I felt, oh, what a pang. I put it back at you, it back. This is not the Spirit of Christ, I heard, not the Spirit of Christ. Are you ashamed of him? Ashamed of him? Jesus, that dear friend, on whom your hopes of heaven depend? It's not always easy, friends, to stand up and say, well, I'm not ashamed of him, I'm not ashamed of him. Sometimes you could know this persecution put in prison, in your own home, in business, everywhere you can think of. Now the Lord has promised his people in due time that they shall walk at large, they shall have liberty. We started here this morning the difference between being shut up in prison, which is a captive, and walking at large, having liberty in soul before God. Now, do we know the difference? Had we got spiritual discernment in our heart to be able to say, now, when I pray, how do I feel? Is there a terrible fear of coming to God and asking Him for anything sometimes? Or is there sometimes lowering it to Him that you can ask Him freely? And He has said He will give all things freely to them that ask Him. Now ask yourself if you know the difference between being a captive and being liberated. Sometimes you may be mistaken when you come to prayer and you have such a dreadful fear. First of all, you say, well, I can't open my mouth. There isn't any word to them what to say. Before you've hardly begun, the Lord appears. And when you know Jesus appears and when He stands by you and for you, He brings those words that He might believe and puts in the heart. And you're able to feel for a little while that nearness of Him, that you can make your supplications known unto Him. You know the nearest part of our religion, friends, is when we have fellowship with Him and communion with His Father. Nothing less than that. Not to be a stranger. No, He said that He would desire the Lord to bring Him out of prison so that there might be a changeover of the outlook of things, that I might praise Thee, that I may praise Thee. Consider this, David showed that in his trouble all his comfort was in prayer unto God. But he desired this, I want something different, Lord, a stepping stone out of the prison, and I want to praise Thee. He would have been like those in the New Testament where they desire that men may see that they had been with Jesus. Has He been with us? Have we been with Him? Do we know what it is, friend? Lord, I want to praise Thee. I will praise Thee. Look at Him. My soul, hope there in God. Hope in God. Know the sureness of it. For I shall yet praise Him. He saw the future. He saw it coming. He saw His appearance of His God. I shall yet praise Him. How pretty. Because His God was the health of His countenance. In other words, the springs, His springs of health, spiritual health and health, were all found in Jesus Christ. And now, I believe this. I felt I've realized it by the goodness of God. And though He brings you low, He says, attend unto my cry, for I have brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. They're not. They're not David. Not really. It wasn't long before he could say, or could look back on what he said, Lord, I will not fear what man should do unto me. What is man, he said, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? What are we? What are any of us? Or to set ourselves up on the pedestal of self-importance? Do we rather desire the Lord to take us in hand and to set us as a child who needs to be taught as where he really instructs us. At his footstool, bow the knee. You consider this. That's where you'll find he will bring you out and bless you. Consider that door of those prison gates. Dear Peter was brought to you now, this deliverance. I thought this afternoon how wonderful it was. The Lord set a time, as he set a set of time for you, when he will bring about the deliverance that you really need, the deliverance that you need. When he came to the gate, friend, there's no need for him to put a hand to it. When deliverance comes to you and for you, you won't have to put your hand to it. You won't. When you see one door shut, God opens another door. You will see a stand astonished at the goodness of God, that I may praise thy name. Look how full that dear man Peter was. He stood at the door. He knocked. And when that dear Rose saw him, she couldn't open the door because of joy in her heart. Well, I can understand that, can't you? I don't know what I should have done. He's free, he's free. However can he get free? Instead of opening the door, she went to tell the others inside. And again he knocked. And oh, that blessed, wonderful story that of deliverance that this dear Peter could tell, of the deliverance from the prison, the deliverance from prison. I don't wonder, Peter said later on in his epistles, in his writings, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, unto you, he knew it. He shut right away, didn't put his hand to it. The Lord, you could sing it, is the Lord enthroned on high, whose favors are divine. You'll prove it, friend, you'll prove it. The Lord will open the doors to you. You'll have to stand still with the children of Israel and see his salvation. You won't have to touch it. We'll march through, he said, take them through. Moses took them through. They went through on dry land. Joshua took them through according as Moses had said. You read on it, through Jordan, on dry land again, they were taken through. It could have been their prison, couldn't it? Forever and ever. Water should overrun? No! Lord God Almighty says, let these waters stand, that there be dry land. It went through, firm underneath, so different than we spoke of this morning. Jeremiah, and all the slush and sludge, and the mire, all these statues standing. Children of Israel went through on dry land, servant of God, in the dungeon. Here the poor man is, one that feared God, one who loved him, one who spoke in the king's palace, one who had an audience with the king, one who declared the truth of God is God to the king. Look at his lot in the prison. And none will say unto God, what do we say? What do we say? You've got a right to take any of us. And before we go on, just let us have one thought here, shall we? Who do we think if we had persecutors? Some places do, we don't have to go back to the 100 or 200 or 300 years ago when they persecuted in our country. We only want to listen and read a little more about the other side of the Iron Curtain to see the dreadful atrocities that are going on now with the little gatherings, and they gather in caves of the earth. They gather in buildings that they build underneath the earth. And there they worship today God in spirit and truth. And friends, they're not all wrong. They're not all wrong. I wonder how much of it we should endure if they become perjurers. And I know this for a start. If they came in this place tonight, they make one beeline. The first one will be to the pulpit, and the next one will be to the desk. And any part that we took in the service, we should be piled away. Now then, I wonder if we could turn to our friends and say, then I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. One thing to speak of, another thing to walk in. Think of persecutors. Think of those that have been suffering atrocities for their faith, some of them for years. They're not all wrong. They're not all right, Mom. They're not all right. Don't know how to say, here's a man sitting today, there's hordes of them who fear God. I have never had. There is a remnant that the Lord our God shall save. And if it's a remnant of the remnant, blessed be God, because a remnant of the remnant is a piece of cloth tore away from a remnant. But there they are, blessed be God. A remnant, God says, shall be saved. He didn't say just in England. Just in England, of course he did. He says, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. Sometimes I so wish that I'd been a lot younger, or when I'd had the spiritual heart burn for this precious gospel of Jesus, I sometimes long that I could have been years younger and gone out to where the gospel is really being needed, I believe. Here we have the white country, here they are, our brethren and sisters in the flesh, but oh, I wonder sometimes how much real appreciation there is of the gospel in our country generally. I do. You think what it would be to be used for someone that had never heard the name of Jesus as a mighty Savior, never heard it, and then the Lord used you to preach the gospel to that sinner, preach the gospel, and that one to be called by grace. That's what I believe is true prosperity spiritually. Sometimes people say to me, we're getting on nicely, we got some come from another chapel, and they joined up with us, and I say, well, I'm glad they've got a home, but that's not the answer. The answer is this, that God will call many sinners by grace and bring them out of the prison house of sin and guilt, the prison house of the world, and bring them into the kingdom of his grace. Is that what you long for? Now the dear man says, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He was assured. How could he find any assurance that the goodness of the Lord would be with him? Because he looked back. Got it in his heart. The Lord has made his goodness pass before me in the way. When I look yonder, the dear man can feel, I remember the hill miser. I remember the Ebenezer. I remember the days of deliverance. And now he said, I press on another step or two at a time. And I believe the Lord will deal bountifully with me. Friend, if I got one in prison, following me, he will send his angel. But people say, I don't believe in these. Yes. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about in that fear him that love him. I often pray for this going along the road or on a journey. Lord, send thy angel, let him encamp round about us. Look after us, Lord, in all our journeys. We need him in this chapter. We need him from persecutors. When I was in London a year or two ago, 18 months I suppose, taking a service, on two occasions, one chapel, during a sermon, the door opened, and there some of these young hooligans, they opened the door and came in. And I had a dreadful feeling in my heart, what next, Lord, what next? What we're going to face now? And I lay down, the Lord gave me such a calm spirit, and I was so collected about it. I stopped preaching, and I asked them, politely, if we could invite them in. And they gave me a rough answer. And off they went again. Back they came in again. And so we had the deacon and I to go out and to see them from the premises. And when I was going home, I had to say, Lord, is this the shape of things to come? Is this the shape of things to come? One thing to read about in the paper, you have to begin to walk. If you be in a pulpit and you find such customers as those you've got to deal with, and you first of all need all the grace and wisdom God can give you. I don't mind saying, Lord, help me. Help me to deal with this matter. I disappeared, and after some while going again, there's some more came in. The same thing happened again, but I have to prove this. He has the power, the mind, the wisdom, that he can both direct, he can subdue, he can lead, guide, he can do just what he likes. And when he does these things, we have to say, not unto me, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name we give the glory. He will deal bountifully with me. The righteous shall compass me about. His people will be with you, friend. When God has done his business in your soul and brought you out of trouble and brought your soul out of prison, you'll find that the Lord will give you friends. He will. I often thank him for friends, righteous people, God-fearing people that love us. Love my dear one, me too. And we love them and pray for them every night of our life, both of us. The righteous, they shall compass us again. If you do that, it means stand by you. Defend you. Stand up for you or stand by you. And the Lord has said that this will happen too. The righteous shall compass me about, his garden, and written it in his heart. And there he comes just where the Lord brought Moses with the children of Israel again. Moses said concerning the journey, Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Don't let us venture. Is there some dear child of God here? There's something before you. It's a trouble to you. You're shut up in it. You don't know which way to take. And the Lord can show you an immanent. We're praying as did dear Moses, in thy presence, go not with us. Carry us not up in. I don't want to go with you. Not if the path was lined with gold and silver. you're put on the way, friend. No, God is God. I'd rather not know. So everything you love the gold and silver, I love it just enough so I can see that I'm brought honorably through this world. I don't love that so much as I love my God that provides it. And that's a different matter altogether. If he provides by the way to the end, we shall have much to bless him for in eternity. It's not the great store that you want. What I want is a little greater store of that manner, that grace in my soul, a little more love to him, a little more faith, feeling that there is that love that abides, and that it is stronger than anything else. It is the greatest, much greater than faith and hope, the Lord says. Now he said he won't give this to his people. His love shall compass them about on every side. I will make, he said to Moses, all my goodness to pass before thee. All. You're going to be brought exactly here when your God deals bountifully with you. Young people, older. What can I say to finish tonight but this? Watch his hand. Pray that his hand might be with you. Ask for an enlargement in the things of grace, that you may love your God with heart, mind, and soul, his people and his ways. Ask him to go before you in every crooked thing which seems to you to be crooked, ask him to make it straight. Straighten out crooked things for you and help you to walk over the rough places. He only can make them plain, you know. He can make them plain. I felt sometimes his dear blessed arms underneath me in the time of trouble when I felt, Lord, I shall sink under this load. I shall sink under this load. And I literally felt the arms of Jehovah to lift me over the deepest sorrows and troubles I've ever passed through. They haven't been light. They haven't been light. Let me tell you this, not the long way, and there's still some that hang heavy on my soul. Still some. I believe this. I believe it today. I believe it this morning. The Lord shall deal bountifully with me, not because we deserve it, but because it is his own unbending grace. That's why. Because he has promised. This is the people. Here they are, this man, that woman, another one, child. They're the ones that I have called, they're the ones I will remember. And I will look to them and I will bless them. Now I believe the children of Israel by Moses, more Moses than the people of Israel, because the dear man had such a trying time with them. I said sometimes they were the most aggravating lot that he could ever have had to deal with. You know, so aggravating, so tiresome, so full of murder, just continually rebelling against the Lord. And here's the poor spokesman, again and again he had to take the brunt of it, didn't he? And yet his God that he had sweet communion with, on their behalf, as well as his own, on their behalf, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee in the way. One man preaching anniversary services a few years ago, and I didn't know he was a minister. Well, he was at the time, but I didn't know what was in his heart. And this was my text. It flows into my heart now. And after the service, he came up, took my hand, and he said, you must have known all about me. I said, I don't know your name, I don't know. "Oh, you know, we don't know anything about you." And he said, "Well, now, I believe tonight, according as you preach, that the Lord has appeared to me in two ways." He said, "First, for many years I've had an exercise concerning preaching. And tonight it's been said that God will go before me and make a way." Now he did it. The Lord did it. He said, "The next thing is this. We're on the verge of moving, and we don't know how we're going to move, but I believe that the Lord will make a way." And the Lord did it. He gave him a double blessing that night. Whenever I hear the man's name mentioned, I don't advertise him, or the name, or where it was that I preached that time, but I say, "That's the man." People speak good of him sometimes, sometimes they don't. "That's the man." He had a double blessing. "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Young friend, old friend, young believer, old believer, whoever you may be, may I tonight encourage you rightly. If you're in trouble, if you're in prison, if you're shut up, if you're alone, the direction is this. Jesus said, "Cast on me thy care, 'tis enough that I am thine. I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply." Oh, fellow sinner, fall down at Jesus' feet, tell him you're nothing, plead his work, plead his precious blood, tell him you want to be a real Christian. You can't make yourself one, but the whole creation was formed by himself, and therefore the creation of grace, the kingdom of grace, is all ordered by himself. Beg him to come and bless your poor soul. I believe he will. A loving Savior surely will relieve his praying for my last word tonight. I know it relieves, friends. He's relieved me many a time, and I wept at his blessed feet. That is dealing bountifully with us.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £30, for which we would be sincerely thankful, and the special collection for the building repair fund taken at yesterday's Thanksgiving services amounted to the sum of £107. We would sincerely thank our dear friends and the good Lord for their great kindness on this occasion. God bring us the word is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and the service on Wednesday will commence at 7 o'clock, the usual time, not at 6:30 as advertised in the Gospel Centre. And Mr. Oakley is God-willing expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close the singing hymn number 989. Hear the Redeemer's gracious call. this country into my arms for freedom. Come, and I'll make you free. The 989th day.
Thank you.
kindly grant each one purely mercies to own. May the grace of Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to rest and abide with us each, this night and forevermore. Amen.